coming into church this morning, I thought, what a lovely, lovely morning to come to the house of the Lord. And, you know, just, you see all these cars whizzing by, you're going to do this, going to do that, sports here, sports. I think they all should be in church. Well, I think they should. Come on. Wouldn't it be good if everybody in Australia went to church? What a wonderful country it would be. Would you agree with that? Amen. We're going to turn to John chapter 1. And as I speak at the beginning, it might be a little bit controversial, but stay with me. Don't nobody get up and go out, okay? Stay with it because it's not controversial, but it might appear to be that way a little bit. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. This is talking about Jesus. Jesus is the Word. John goes right back to the beginning when we read Matthew and we read Luke. They go back to the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. And they give him the earthly name Jesus. But in heaven, before he came to earth, he wasn't known as Jesus. The word Jesus means Savior or Rescuer. So in heaven, he didn't need that name. They want nobody to rescue. Amen. He was the Word. He was known as God's Word. So John is going back right to the beginning. He says, right at the beginning, Jesus was there. Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Through him, all things were made. Without him, that's the Word, Jesus. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And then verse 10. He, the Word, Jesus, he was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own received him not. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, this was written 2,000 years ago. Hard to get your mind around 2,000 years. I'm 74 this year, so I can get my mind around 70. Okay? I can get my mind around a couple of hundred, maybe 500. But when we talk 2,000 years, how many of you know it's a long time? That's when this was written. 2,000 years ago. And John says that when Jesus came, and of course we understand he was born in Bethlehem, we know that the shepherds came and the wise men came. John says something interesting. He says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. At Christmas time, I went round some shopping centres to see if I could find a nativity scene. The shopping centres I went to, I couldn't find one. Now, I understand there was one or two shopping centres that had nativity scenes. I remember when they all had them. I remember when you could go into a shopping centre at Christmas time, there'd be a nativity scene there. And there'd be beautiful carols being sung. And you got the presence of Christmas about Jesus. But not now. It's like he's been pushed out of the picture. 2,000 years ago, it says he came and they didn't recognize him and they didn't receive him. And I thought, nothing's changed. 2,000 years later, they still don't receive him. I got a friend who works for the forestry department. And 2 weeks before Christmas, all people in his department were sent an email from the bosses telling them what Christmas is all about. Actually having to explain to grown people what Christmas is about. Wasn't a mention of Jesus at all. Not one mention. Christmas is about family. and friends and having a break and having a rest and being good to one another. No mention of Jesus at all. Isn't that sad? They actually sent an email to explain what Christmas was and not a mention of Jesus. How many of you know that's pretty sad? He was in the world. The world was made by him. The world didn't recognize him. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. And when I was reading that the other week, I thought, nothing's changed. They did not recognize him. Nothing's changed. They did not receive him. 2,000 years later, nothing's changed. There was no place for him. Nothing's changed. He was rejected and despised. Nothing's changed. We're talking 2,000 years later. He came to his own, and they didn't receive him. Nothing's changed. He came to a world that was in a mess. Nothing's changed. Would you agree with that? People were confused. Nothing's changed. People were sick, diseased, in poverty. Nothing's changed. People were oppressed, mistreated, misused, and abused. Nothing's changed. People were afraid and lonely 2,000 years ago. Today, nothing's changed. Families were under attack. Marriage was under threat. Hey, nothing has changed. Religion enslaved people. Nothing's changed. Politics was about power. Come on, finish it off for me. Nothing's changed. Would you agree? Nothing's changed in 2,000 years. Nothing has changed. War were killing people by the thousands. Nothing's changed. People were greedy and abusive. Nothing has changed. In fact, Jesus has not changed this world one little bit. I had a preacher preaching the other day and he was saying, Jesus came into the world to change the world. My mind was going over all this. And I thought, well, if that's what he came into the world for, he didn't do a very good job. Because nothing's changed. Don't look at me like that. I said it would be a bit controversial to begin with, didn't I? Just sit back and relax. You'll get the point in a minute. I'm just telling you the truth. In 2,000 years, nothing's changed out there. They still reject him. They still refuse him. They still confuse. They still murder. They still rape. They still rob. They still kill. There's hatred, violence. There is anger. There's greed. There's pride. All there, all around us. Only a whole lot more of it now. Why? Because there's a lot more people. In 2,000 years, the world hasn't changed. Oh, I know buildings have changed. Technology's changed. I understand that. We've got airplanes that they never had then. We've got weaponry that they never had then. But let me just tell you what I'm talking about. The heart of man has not changed. People are still the same as they ever were. When he said Jesus came to change the world, I stopped and I thought of this and I thought, no, I can't find anywhere in the New Testament where it said that Jesus came to change the world. Never said that. Jesus never said, I've come to change the world. Listen to what John says in his letter. You know this scripture. I'll just read it to you. Listen to what he says. This is 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. He says, do not love the world or anything in the world. Anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does not come from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. Doesn't say they're going to be changed. He said they pass away, they've gone, they are destroyed. But the man who does the will of God abides forever. When you're reading the New Testament in the Greek, there's certain words for world. The world can mean the planet on which we live, which is a wonderful creation of God. It's not talking about the planet. It's not talking about the rivers and the mountains and the valleys and the lakes. It's not talking about the birds and the insects and the beautiful flowers and the fragrance. It's not talking about the sunrise and the sunsets. It's not talking about, when it says world in that context, it's not talking about the planet. And then there's another context of the world, the people on the world. Now, we just read a scripture that says, don't love the world. But John also says, God so loved the world. There's a contradiction of terms there. No, there's not. Because what God is talking about there are the people in the world. The world today is over 7 billion people on planet Earth today. God loves them all. Come on, can I have a little nod if you don't? Come on, agree with that. He loves them all. He loves you, he loves them out there. There's another word, aeon, for world. And it means the philosophy by which this world lives. It means all the floating mass of thoughts and speculations. It means a condition of the heart of man. That's the world that John is talking about when he says, don't love the world. Because this world will destroy you. This world will suck you in and drag you down and totally destroy you. Can I say to you today, Jesus Christ cannot change that world. The Bible says the whole world lies under the control of the evil one. The world thinks like the evil one. The world's been poisoned by the evil one. That world cannot be changed, and that world cannot be saved. It will be judged and destroyed. Nothing's changed. But can I say this? God still loves the world. Nothing's changed. God still cares for men and women. Nothing has changed. In 2,000 years, this world just carries on the way it did, the blind leading the blind. But in 2,000 years, God's love for the people in the world has never changed. You see, Jesus did not come to save the world. He did not come to change the world. But he did come to change your world. He did come to change my world. The world remains the same, but people who believe in him, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. So while Jesus will not change the world, Jesus wants to change your world. Can you say amen to that? And I know that you in this church this morning, most of you, if not all of you, have had Jesus change your world. You actually opened your heart to him and you said, Jesus, come in. And your world changed. Glory to God. Christians are people who've had their world changed. Amen? Our world has been revolutionized. Our world is so different to the world out there. We got saved in this world. We gave our life to Jesus and our world changed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you know you're different to the people out there now? You used to be part of them. You were part of the stinking world with your stinking thinking. You were part of the world with your wickedness and your evil. You were part of it. But suddenly you let Jesus come in, and he came in and he changed your world right from the inside. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Come on. Get excited about this. You've had your world changed. And if you haven't, well, I feel sorry for you. Because you're going to go to a lost eternity. Because this world passes away. It goes. The world now that Jesus has come in and changed in here, it stays for eternity. Hallelujah. You're looking at an eternal being this morning. Do you want to know? There's a program just on telly. I haven't seen it, but I've seen the shorts of it, where this guy can't die. He dies and he keeps coming back. He dies, keeps coming back, and he keeps living on. That's rubbish. I'm going to tell you, now take a look at, all look at me. You're looking at a guy now who cannot die. whose world has been changed and transformed so that death has no part of me at all. My body may fall asleep, but my soul and spirit lives on forever, and my body will be raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Because Jesus has changed my world. And he's changed your world. And he wants to change everybody's world if they will let him. I told you this before, but it'll be worth telling you again. In the first 100 years of Christianity, it has been estimated, and worked pretty well, worked out. They said that there's, by the first 100 years of Christianity, starting 2,000 years ago, the first 100 years, they estimated that one in every 25 people on planet Earth was a Christian. The gospel is so spread all around, you know. It's one in 25, which is pretty good. 2,000 years later, we got 7 billion people on the earth, and I can't begin to try to understand that. But it's estimated now that out of the 7 billion, 1 billion people confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's not counting Catholics. The Catholics say that they have 1 billion Catholics, and many Catholics are born again as well. But out of all the Protestant churches, about 1 billion confess that Jesus is Lord, which means 1 in every 7 people on the earth are Christians. Hallelujah. Isn't God clever? He's done that all by himself. Without any good advertising, with the world being against him, with the world trying to push him out. No room for Jesus, no room for Jesus, no room for Jesus. Don't talk Jesus. Talk religion. They don't mind you talking religion. They'll let you talk religion till the cows come home. They don't mind you talking religion. Don't talk Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who comes to change your world. Religion doesn't change your world. Religion ensnares you. Religion just sucks you in with the world. Religion is part of the world, as politics are part of the world, as the philosophy of this world. But Jesus, you start talking Jesus and you are on dangerous ground. Hallelujah. Because things happen when people start to talk about Jesus. The world gets changed. Still a dangerous place out there. If you're not a Christian, you're living in a dangerous place. I'm telling you, a dangerous place. I've been reading last week Voice of the Martyrs magazine, which I subscribe to, which talks about the persecution of the church around the world today. Great persecution is going on, and many Christians are being persecuted. Many Christians have their houses knocked down, churches destroyed, thrown into prison, or they run off into the forest. So many stories of Christians right now. I'm talking now, in this day and age. And he was saying it's dangerous to be a Christian. Well, I think it's dangerous to be a Christian, but it's dangerous for the devil, not for us. Come on. I'm going to tell you it's dangerous not to be a Christian. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a person who believes in Jesus, I'm telling you that is a dangerous walk that you are walking. But if you are a Christian, I want to tell you, ain't dangerous. But you just said, Pastor John, people can be persecuted. People can be put to death. Well, their body can be snuffed out, but they can't be put to death. Amen? Because we have eternal life. We've been changed from the inside out. Do you think that's good? Come on. He wants to change your world. When I first got saved a long time ago, when I was 15, I didn't know anything, but I did know the night I gave my life to Jesus, I was saved. I didn't know any scriptures, didn't know any prayers, didn't know any beautiful songs that we sang today, didn't know any of that. But as a 15-year-old, I came to a church, and anyway, I got saved. And I didn't know anything. I was a real bad lad, come from a dysfunctional family. That's a long, long time ago. Today, I know a lot more than I knew then. Today, I'm changed a lot more than I was then. But can I say this? When I was 15, and I knelt down, and the youth leader prayed a prayer over me, and he says, repeat this prayer, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me, make me a new person. I thought a weight lift a new life came in. I couldn't explain it. Couldn't put it into categories. I just knew that something had happened. He'd come in to change my world. I was as much saved then at the age of 15 as I am now at the age of 73. I'm not saved anymore. I know a lot more. And I've learned a lot more. And I'm growing and I'm allowing him to change it because I've realized something. Christianity is all about change. And I'm asking you this question. Is he changing your world? Have you said, Jesus, come in and change my world, and you've continued to let him change your world? You know, the world is a dangerous place. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter, and in that letter he says his friend, and he had a friend called Demas, he was a Christian. He was a worker in the kingdom. He helped Paul on his missionary journeys. He wrote this letter to Timothy, I think it was, and he says, Timothy, Demas has left me. He's fallen in love with his present world. How sad, he went back. He started letting Jesus change his world, but he looked at the world and thought, no, there's too much there for me. I want that. And he grasped hold of it. I know a lot of Christians that have done that. I've been in Perth now for 46 years. And I've seen a lot of people make decisions over the years. Thousands and thousands. And if every one of them had gone on with the Lord, guess what? All of our churches would be packed to capacity. They'd be full. There'd be no room to see them. But over the years, I've seen Christians come. And I've seen Christians go. I've seen Christians believe in Jesus. I'm going to follow him. And then walk away from him. How sad. They've fallen in love with this world. And John says, don't you love this world? All the things that are of this world. Because if you love this world, the love of the Father is not in you. We're not talking about the valleys and the rivers and the mountains. We're not talking even about the good things that happen. I'm not talking about entertainment or sport. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the philosophy of this age. The greed. The violence. The power seeking. I'm talking about the philosophy, how this world thinks that it's not wrong to lie. And it's not wrong to do anything wrong so long as you don't get caught. I mean, you know, that these people that get caught, suddenly it was wrong. But while they were not caught, it's not wrong. That's the philosophy of this age. The philosophy of this age is do what you want to do, but don't get caught. And you're all, that's a philosophy of the world. And then another thing I notice about the world in which we live is terribly unfair, and that life is cheap. But justice is expensive. Come on. If you want justice, you've got to pay a lot of money. Come on. True. Life is cheap, but justice is expensive. Because if you want good justice, you've got to hire the best lawyers that there are. If you don't have enough money, you don't get good justice. Life is cheap. That's the world in which we live. It's a noisy world. It's a loud world, full of entertainment. And yet it is, on the surface, so weak. I don't watch the program My Kitchen Range, but I know a lot of people watch it and they caught on it. That's okay. I've got no problems with it. If you want to watch it, watch it. But I'm watching the shorts of it. And I saw this girl or young woman who's covered with cooking. And they must have been criticized for their food. So she starts to cry. I'm looking at this. I'm thinking, God, what is happening here? Here is a woman who's crying uncontrollable because somebody didn't like her cooking. I thought, dear God, what world are we living in? And what are we promoting? I thought, I wish I could take them to Afghanistan, drop them there for a few weeks and just leave them. Come on. Wish you could take them to Iran, Iraq. Wish you could take them to the Philippines. Wish you could take to many countries that are just trying to eke out some sort of a living, but we get, I don't know, what a world in which we live. Come on, don't look at me like that. I'm speaking the truth. You know I am. Come on. A lot of these reality programs. The idea about reality programs is that they try to get people to behave the worst they can. To be catty. To be critical. To be nagging. To be fighting. That creates entertainment, they say, that people want to watch. Well, do you know why? Because the people are of this world. And that's what this world promotes. Isn't it wonderful to be free from all that? Come on. I've got a new world inside where the sky outside is bluer. The grass is greener. I hear the birds singing. I see the beautiful flowers and the colors. I walk around and I say, oh God, what a great creator you are. You see, a Christian's world is different to the world out there because the world out there revolves around them. But when you become a Christian, our life revolves around Jesus. Jesus is the center of it all. And when he's the center of it all, I want to tell you, there's great peace. There's great joy. There's great sense of assurance and security. Hallelujah. If what I'm saying today isn't really entering into your brain, and you're looking at there, it's not making much difference. Can I say, maybe because you've moved a little bit? Maybe you're learning the way the world leans and you're thinking the way the world thinks and you think that out there they got it all together. It's the most important thing in life is to make as much money as you can because money in their thinking of this world spells security, prosperity, good health and everything that you need. How many of you know that's a big lie, because money doesn't do that for you. Money doesn't. All that money does is help you to be comfortable while you're miserable. Come on, is that true? You can buy all sorts of comforts and sit there miserable because money doesn't hit where it really is at because you're living in a world of unrest, uncertainty, of worry, anxiety, a world always bordering on depression, always. The amount of drugs, the amount of tablets and pills that we're pushing into ourselves just to give us some release from it. Tonight, people will be in our nightclubs, by the way, throughout Australia will be packed. You won't go to one nightclub in Australia that will be half empty. Every nightclub, whatever capital city you want to go into, will be full. Our pubs, overflown. All kinds of dancing places, overflown. Why? People will go to the pubs and to the clubs, to the nightclubs tonight. They will get blotto. They'll wake up in the morning with their stomachs in pain, with their head. And but why are they doing this? Because they think and they hope that by doing that, they're going to get some release for a short period of time. Release from the boredom of life. Release from the everyday futility of life. So they take a little bit of a drug here, or a bit of alcohol there, or there's a bit of entertainment there, some sex here, and they lust here, they lust there. The idea is to lift the spirits, to get them over and above. Nobody takes drugs because they want to become addicted. Come on. Nobody says, today I've decided to be addicted. I'm going to just take heroin so that I can be addicted. I'm going to take this stuff. I'm going to take ice so I can be blown out of my mind. They don't do that. They do it for a lift because they think I'm going to get a lift from this. They do it so that their mind will start to feel good. Freedom from the stress and the strain of work, marriage and families, the problems and politics, and lack of money. Just to get some sort of a little kick, some sort of a little lift. That's why they do it. And for a short period of time, they get a kick. For a short period of time, they get a lift. for a short period of time, they forget the humdrum of life. They forget the Monday morning feelings. They forget the boss at work. They forget for a short period of time. And then the thing that gave them that release for a short period of time becomes their master and their controller. And they become slaved, whether it be alcohol or drugs or pills or whatever it is, they become enslaved. Or money, money can enslave you. Lust and sex can enslave you. So that little bit of release is no longer a release. You are an actual slave to it. And you've got to get more, and you've got to get more, and you've got to get more, because your body is starting to fall to bits. Wow. Am I glad that I've got Jesus in my heart? Our brother says it, in his presence is fullness of joy, and his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. I don't need a kick. I've got one. His name is Jesus. And do I become enslaved to him? You better believe it. I'm a slave to Jesus, but listen, I'm a love slave. I don't want to be a slave to heroin, because heroin will eventually kill me. I don't want to be a slave to all these ice things and the crystals, because they eventually will kill me. I don't want to be a slave to any human being, because eventually... Nah. But I do want to be a slave to Jesus. And I've got a lovely scripture for you in closing I want you to turn to. In Matthew chapter 11. And it's a beautiful scripture. This is the only scripture where Jesus actually talks about himself and explains what he is like. Matthew 11. Some of you will know these verses off by heart. Jesus is speaking. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." That's the only time Jesus speaks about himself. And when he speaks about himself, he says, "I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." You don't need the nightclubs. You don't need the big dollars. You don't need the alcohol. You don't need the drugs. You need Jesus. You're burdened, hurting, lonely, discouraged. Jesus has come to me. All you who are weary and loaded down, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm gentle. I'm humble. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I want to change your world. I can't change the world around you. Can't do that. Jesus cannot change the world, but he can change your world. Can you say amen? Bit louder.
Amen.
Bit louder.
Amen.
Give it a big shout this time. Amen. He can change your world. Not can, I hope that he has. If he hasn't, you're going to get an opportunity in a moment for him to do so. But I hope he has. I hope that you're in a place now where you're saying, "Yeah, Jesus. Jesus is the center of my life. He's the one that I've placed my heart and my mind on. I believe in Jesus." And I know people curse him. I know people blaspheme that name. They still reject him. They still won't accept him. They still won't acknowledge him. But a billion people on earth tonight, hallelujah, have found that he's changed their world. And they're walking in a different world. A world of love. A world of joy. A world of peace. A world of security. A world of forgiveness. A world of happiness. Hallelujah. That's the world in which we're walking now. And not talking about what is to come. We have in heaven a wonderful mansion being prepared for us. We have eternal life, eternal joy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I listened last week, and they were saying, you've heard it, all of you, that they reckon with all the medical advancement, people are being born today who's going to live for 150 years, they reckon. Did you hear about that? Anybody hear on the news? It was on Talkback Radio. They say today, people are being born today, and they're going to live for 150 years. And I think, well, who'd want to in this world? Come on. So many people are contemplating suicide. Wealthy people, healthy people, contemplating suicide. It's enough to put up with 70, 80 years, 150 years of this. There's going to be a lot of suicide, I'm telling you that. But that's what they're saying. They're actually saying that. Well, we've got eternal life. Glory to God. Jesus says, I've come to give you life, an abundant life, that to the full. Glory to God. No anger. No hatred. No unforgiveness. No abusiveness. We're Christians. We shine differently. Our world is different. It's dangerous out there. You want security? Come on in. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open to me, I will come in and sup with him. Hallelujah. I'll have a meal with him. I'll have some fellowship with him and with her who opens to me. If you open to me, I'll come in. I'm knocking. I know this world's knocking. This world's knocking at your heart and saying, come on to me, come to me. The world is knocking. Be careful. Jesus also is knocking. And somebody painted a wonderful painting. It's a very famous painting of Jesus standing out this big door with a lantern in his hand, which represents his word, and he's knocking on the door. And there's no handle on the door. The artist particularly painted it with no handle on it, so it's not a door like this with a handle on. It's got no handle, and he's knocking. Because he can't force his way in. You've got to let him in. He won't force himself upon you. Not like the devil will. The world will force itself on you. The devil will force itself on you. But Jesus won't. But he says, I'll come if you'll open. And your world will be changed. Hallelujah. Who reckons that was a good sermon? He said, I reckon it was, don't you? He's changed. Sometimes we live in this world, and because all that, the word AI and that floating mass of speculation and thoughts, it's there all the time. We live in it. See it every day on the television and the newspapers. Go to work tomorrow, school tomorrow, college. You're hearing all this negativity of this world. Well, get away from it, amen. Be what you are, a new creation. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Fear says to you, you're a victim of your circumstances. But faith says, no, you're a product of the cross. Hallelujah. You're a product of the cross. You're not a victim of circumstances. You've come to a new life in Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, he wants to give you a new life. He wants to change your world. Are there aspects of your world that you know need changing? Are there things within you right now that you say, I need some change, Pastor John? I know I do. I need this anger there, or this resentment, or there's some unforgiveness in my heart. There's even loneliness there. I need to be changed. My world needs to be changed. Can I pray for you? If there's somebody here that would say, I need that change. I need a change. Jesus, you're knocking at my heart. By the way, listen to this. When that scripture, behold, I stand at the door and knock, was written, it was written by Jesus through John to a church. Whoa. That's a scary thing. Wasn't speaking to the world on that occasion, to the church. Because Jesus knows that people in the church can start to be like Demas and start to want to go back. And Jesus said, I'm knocking. If you'll open, I'll come in again and And I'll bring my whole being and we'll fellowship together. Come to me if you're weary and heavy laden. I'm going to give you rest. Just close your eyes. Nobody look around. I really feel this word was laid on my heart today to speak to people here who need maybe a restart or a reboot. Maybe you need to readjust where you are and what you're doing. And so God sent me here to tell you, to point to you, to say, come on, don't get sucked in by this world. This world, with all of its lust and passion, will pass away. But you have the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hold on to that. Don't let go. If this morning, this message has spoken to you, and you need a prayer, maybe there's things in your life that you've let go and you've started to drift back. Maybe you're not excited with Jesus as you used to be. And you know that. And right now, this message is speaking to you. Would you like him to come again and change your world? Or maybe you've never asked him in the first place to change your world. Why don't you do that today? Maybe this can be a first decision for you. But whatever, he wants to change your world. Will you let him? I want to say a prayer for people. I'm not going to ask you to come out the front. Time is gone. But I want to say a prayer for you. If you know that God is speaking to you through this humble servant, I'm nothing, I'm nobody. I've just come as a mouthpiece of God because there's people here who needed to hear this message. Let me pray for you. If it's you and you need a prayer, just raise your hand so I can see it. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Anyone else? Yeah, I need a prayer. You know, God's not going to force you. Yeah, God bless you, brother, thank you. Not going to force. He stands and knocks, patiently waiting for you to say, Lord, point me in the right direction. Anyone else? I'm going to pray right now, but if there's anybody else, I don't want to miss you. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you. See you again. God bless you. Yeah. Yeah, let me just, I've got a word for you. Father, I just thank you for this lady. And Lord, I just believe that you're speaking to her in such a precious way today. And Lord, she wants all that you have for her. She doesn't want life to crowd you out. She doesn't want the things that's happening around her to push you out. And I just pray that you especially bless her today. Give her strength and courage that she will push the world out and that she will walk at peace with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, for all of those who raise their hand today, you see them, Lord. You see their need. You see what it is, Lord, that the enemy has brought upon them. But Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that as they raise their hand, they're opening their heart's door again. Jesus, come in. Come in. Change their world. In that area that's dragging them down, change it for the glory of your name. May they guard this place knowing that they've encountered you in a beautiful way. I ask it in Jesus' name. Now, while everybody's praying, nobody look around. Quite a few hands went up, and I don't know if somebody was asking Jesus into their heart for the first time. I don't know. Maybe it was your first time that you said, Jesus, come in. He wants to forgive you. He wants to cleanse you from all that you ever did wrong. And he wants to establish a relationship with you that's very, very beautiful. If you raise your hand for the first time in making a decision for Jesus, No one look around, but if that was you, can you just raise it again so I can see? I want to say a special prayer for you. If you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or if you would like to do right now, just put your hand up so I can see it. I don't know everybody here. I'm a visiting speaker, so I don't know if you know Jesus or you don't. But if you don't, just raise your hand and say, I want to receive Jesus. He loves you. He's standing and he's knocking. He won't force you to become a Christian. You've got to receive him. I'm going to ask just one more time. Don't let this go. It's so important. First time. Jesus, forgive me. I want you to change me from the inside. And Father, you see every heart here. And if there are people here who are still on the outside looking in, who still don't know, I just pray that you won't give up on them. You continue to speak to them. Continue to walk with them. Continue to knock on their heart's door that they will open to you and be saved, be born again, be forgiven, and have the gift of eternal life. And for those who raise their hand, Lord, let this be a good day for them. And for all of us, Father, who's heard this message today here, I pray that we will focus on you today in a very special way. Help us to focus. Take in, Lord, the truths of what you've done for us. May this day be a blessed day for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much.